The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there, to my left, to your right, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, oh, good morning.
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Packed show today. Jake Hahn will join us. His final thoughts on the Stanley Cup final, but really, he's also a golf bettor, so we'll talk U.S. Open with him. Shinnecock Hills for the U.S. Open this week.
Let's go.
Scottie Scheffler going for the career slam. You know what I learned on the way in from Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis?
I bet you learned a lot.
That Scottie Scheffler's birthday is on Sunday.
It is. Is it Sunday? I knew it was this weekend.
That's what Captain Dave said.
Well, I'm going to trust the fine reporting of one Dave Ross.
You know what's amazing to me about that story, besides the fact that, is this going to all crescendo into a victory for him on his birthday? He's in his 20s still?
Yeah.
That dude looks like he's
turning 30?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Unbelievable. Sia Najad will join us talk U.S. Open. And I guess because we have Sia on, we have to talk about the Brendan Sorsby thing has come to its natural ending, I suppose. Probably the best way to get out of this, I think, when all is said and done. Drew Dinsick talking, we'll get NBA recap from him, tennis, World Cup, which we have to discuss with him as well, which is where we'll begin here momentarily with what happened yesterday. Mark Borchardt, Major League Baseball, Paul Carr later on the World Cup. By the way, I was watching, what's the show called with Nick Wright and Chris Broussard, that's mediated by Wilds. Kevin, is his name Kevin Wilds, I believe? But Wilds gave Paul Carr a shout.
Yes.
In the
Paul
show.
Carr popped up a couple places yesterday, right?
Yeah.
McAfee, too.
Yeah, Paul Carr getting the pub. So we'll do all that. We have to start, though, with the quadruple header.
First things first.
What's the name of the show?
First Things First.
Oh, I thought you were about to interrupt me and tell me something. First Things First. First Things First. What are we doing? I should come to rehearsals more often.
That was going to bug me. That was going to bug me real quick.
So yesterday in the World Cup, quadruple header, and not just a quadruple header, but an epic draw, 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 draw.
Insane.
Say that five times fast.
Quadruple draw, 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 draw.
And it began with, when we were on the air, we were just talking about the first half of that Cape Verde-Spain game, and we couldn't believe it was 0-0 at the half. Well, it ended up 0-0. In just the most shocking of all the draws, not for 1 second would I have dared play that draw. 35-1 preflop. Some saw 40-1 preflop on that. And Spain, one of the tournament favorites, gets stymied into a draw. So that was the anomalous one, where you're just off the charts. You're just like, how did that happen?
Did I see something just silly from that? Of like, Cape Verde had the balls at 7% of the time in the attacking third. It was like something absurd.
Their goalie, 40-year-old goalie, by the way, was
Yeah, 40-year-old goalie who got like 6 million more Instagram followers because they kept talking about him because he stopped everything.
Stopped everything, and we saw some of them.
Yeah,
when we were on the air here. Then it was Belgium, Egypt. 1-1 tie. Then it was Saudi Arabia and Uruguay. That ends up in a 1-1 tie. By the way, if you had the draw in that one, that was the ultimate sweat because Uruguay had about 477 corner kicks in the last 5 minutes of that game, I believe, if I was scoring correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iran and New Zealand, which might have been the best game of all of them yesterday, the best match of all of them. New Zealand took a 1-0 lead. Iran tied it up at 1-1. New Zealand took a 2-1 lead, and Iran tied it up at 2-2. That ended in a draw. Now, I say all this, and I seize on all of this, to get back to the point that I made yesterday and that I made Friday. I know I've made it before, but I want to say it one last time here to just drive this point home about sports betting, because if you're new or newish to sports betting, you must embrace these moments, which is to say, once again, and I'll bring you into this, Kelly, as well. Kelly can grind on golf every single day and spend hours handicapping it. I can grind on tennis every single day, handicapping for hours, and you have some great years. You have years where it's more frustrating than others, and it's our bread and butter, but you spend hours doing it, right? That's one headspace to be in sports betting. And yeah, I think if you're doing it the right way, you know, I used to handicap baseball on a daily basis, always using advanced metrics, always doing it very cerebrally. That's one headspace to be in. sometimes it's going to work out great, sometimes not so much. By the way, the time spent, right, doesn't always equate to success rate. Then there's the space of contest, right? Being in contest, that's a different headspace. Then there's these futures, right? I had these great Spurs futures, right? We've had great futures that have gone by the wayside. Great numbers that end in heartbreak. That's another headspace to be in. You live with those for weeks, months, sometimes a year, right? There's that. Then there's, by the way, let me just throw this in. Then there's this annoying guy, right? I'm sure the NBA hardos are annoyed by what I say about this. So I ended up winning the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. And what I said was, I was unencumbered by having to watch 82 games, and all the NBA hardos were super into it. I think not watching it sort of helped, right? So there's that kind of thing. What I'm getting at with that is this soccer thing, which is, and then there's soccer, right? Which you and I, very honest about saying, we don't follow it like mm-hmm. others do. And then you just get into this mode where you can very brain dead. There have been 16 matches so far. 16 matches so far. 8 have ended in a draw.
That's wild, man.
8 of them. Kelly, I've been involved in 5 of them. It's just the most, and you can't take any credit. By the way, this is the thing about doing a show, too. Right? If you don't talk about it beforehand, you're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. What I'm pointing out is there is brain dead stuff, too, that has you winning. You take no credit for it, but it's just the nature of sports betting. Sometimes this stuff is just dumb. Here's Ben Fox, our old buddy Ben Fox. 4 World Cup games today, meeting yesterday. 4 more draws. He has Spain, Cape Verde at 12-1. It was way higher than that. Belgium, Egypt, 3-1. Saudi Arabia, Uruguay, plus 333. Iran, New Zealand, plus 230. Your numbers may vary, but those last three are pretty much where they were. If you bet a draw in every game so far, 16 games, 8 ties, you'd be up 26.5 units. The 5 that I'm in, I'm up over 14 units just on those alone. Not to mention the Joe Pita ridiculous exact scores on day one. So it's just been this just ridiculous thing. Now, a cautionary tale, right? Because if I'm being smart, right? If the draw people who have been capitalizing this are being smart, we probably just stop now.
You mean this isn't going to continue forever, Gil Alexander?
Now, ask me if I'm smart enough to stop now.
You going to stop betting draws today?
I don't think I can. I'm going to try. I don't think I can. It'll just take one loss and then I'll be enough, right?
Yeah. 1-6-0 blowout, yep.
But our buddy Steve Fezzik, by the way, unprovoked. We usually get texts from Fez on Friday morning before he's on the show with us. He's like, hey, here's what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I think some bullet points. But he wanted to, we didn't even talk about it. I didn't even know if he knew that we were betting this stuff. He said, so with the draw day yesterday in the World Cup, I'll just read this from Fez because, it's Fez fashion, right? Because there's going to be a lot of people now also who are listening.
Yeah.
The biggest cautionary tale is not only should we probably wrap it up because this is unlikely to continue, but there are some people who have been who haven't parlayed these, who might be thinking about parlaying it.
There's some people always thinking about parlaying.
Please do not do that. Steve Fezzik has his cautionary tales, which is, so with the draw day yesterday in the World Cup, he says the sharp conclusion is to talk about how oftentimes the draw can have value, and even more so in the World Cup when these games are so conservative. So by the way, that's actually a check mark in the category of maybe this will continue because of the conservative nature of play.
Mm,
okay,
yeah.
Maybe it will. He says the dum-dum take, he loves the phrase dum-dum or dumbo or any variation of dumb. Dumb with the capital D. The dum-dum take, he says, is to advocate parlaying the crap out of all the draws. His words, not mine. He says, never mind you don't get the best number by shopping each game so you really get hurt on the price. And since none of the games are going on at the same time, there's never a reason to do the parlay, he says, because if after you hit the first couple draws, are you suddenly going to start betting 10, 30, 50 times as much on the third and fourth game to end in a draw? Of course not. To put it in context, to make it simple, everyday draw pays, let's say he just, to make this math simple, he says plus 500. If you had free bets, of course, that's completely different. It's a great idea. First game, you got 100 to win 500. Second game, 600 to win 3,000. Then 3,600 to win 18,000. 18,000 to win 90. That kind of thing with free plays. But think how stupid this is. You betting $100 on the first bet and then 18,000 on the last leg of the mechanical parlay. No one's going to do that. That's got a brain. It violates every aspect of Kelly criteria. Just betting the same amount on each draw, maybe escalating a little bit as it becomes obvious that it's a good idea, makes the most sense. So just cooler heads prevail is just a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
That day yesterday was just out of control.
That's wild, man. That's wild. Out of
control.
Good on you. That's wild.
Today, by the way.
I do think there's there's a couple things Fez said in that text. you know, I do think the competition is worth noting. You and I have talked about this before and discussed I think it's fair to always wonder with soccer, like, is there value on the draw, period?
On these international matches, yes.
And then you get to the international formats where it's just, there's so much at stake, both to win and to lose. There's so much play to just kind of end things where it's at. I think that can be true. I also think it's fair to question, like you brought up at the very beginning, though, like, what's the reality of it continuing, right? Are we going to see half draws throughout a tournament? Probably not, but... I think those would be good questions for Paul Carr and others later here.
Listen, today, the quadruple header, which doesn't start till noon Pacific, by the way, 3 p.m. Eastern. This is the late night staggered quadruple header.
No me gusta.
No te gusta? Mm. France, Senegal. France supposed to win that, right? But I wouldn't be
surprised. Big day for us.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's ends in a draw.
We heard a lot of Senegal love before the World
France Cup. Supposed to win. Iraq, Norway. Norway's supposed to win that. Not supposed to be a draw, right? Argentina, the defending champs, against Algeria. Argentina's supposed to win that, but you never know. And then in the beautiful Bay, in San Francisco, actually, Santa Clara, Austria, Jordan. Austria's supposed to win that. So look at the draw prices, right? Plus 340, 6-1, plus 360, plus 425. Those are on the higher side, by the way. But throw out the Spain thing from yesterday. The 6-1 and the plus 425 on the higher side of draws as well. Should not be drawing if you're Norway or Austria against Iraq and Jordan. So, anyway, just a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
These things have been great. Doesn't mean they're likely to continue, and certainly don't parlay. We'll come back. We got Drew Dinsick joining us. Sia Najad. Packed show coming up on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com has everything you need to bet smarter. Right now on VSiN.com, Norway versus Iraq, World Cup best bets from Nigel Seeley, Austria versus Jordan World Cup preview from Alex Blowers, and Greg Peterson's MLB best bets. How about Greg strolling in here yesterday and firing out a 5-0?
There you go,
like
Greg.
That? And coming later today, Wes Reynolds' U.S. Open picks, Zach Cohen's tennis best bets, Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report, and it's never too early to think about the NFL. Now you can get the football season special for just $175 and get access to everything VSiN does through the Super Bowl. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. We get tweets. Beating the book. Y'all are great. By the way, Todd Hoyer shouting out Greg Peterson. He says, the listener who suggested Greg volunteer yesterday is spot on. Anywhere, really, but animal-related is a great idea. Shelters, pet therapy, horse sanctuaries, all filled with kind, thoughtful people like Greg. Plus, you're helping your community.
Yeah.
People just helping out.
That's great. And everybody should volunteer.
And Judd O'Connor has a different angle. He says, I don't know how Greg is single giving away these lottery tickets. I'll date him if he keeps giving away 5-0 bangers. Good for you, man. Good on Greg. Rich Sports 1981. This World Cup betting is like stealing. Just simply play the draw every time in game ones. Unreal so far. It has been, man. iHeart's SEC podcast chimes in on the World Cup as well. He says the under 2.5 has done pretty well so far as well. I've taken the first half draw and under 2.5 every game so far. LFC title records, letting us know. ProfitX back as a prediction market instead of a sweepstakes. Yes. They got CFTC approval late last week. Was it late last week? I can't even remember the dates now. In a related note, the France match has about $6 million in trading volume on Kalshi. Yeah, the volume on these World Cup matches on prediction markets is insanity. Now, it's not a $1 for $1 volume versus betting handle, vis-a-vis betting handle conversion, which we'll get into the math at a future date. But it still denotes a spectacular amount of money on this stuff. It's just insane. Shooter McGamblin, Brent Hurley 70. So I was listening in podcast form yesterday, but tell Greg that a run club would be a great place to meet someone. Lots of young, in-shape people, and he's already a running expert.
Oh, what? That one's great.
That one's a great one.
That one's a great call.
That's a great one. Chris Heath, my birthday's on Sunday as well, but I'm taking the other new father, Tyrrell Hatton. Oh, we got multiple golf birthdays on Sunday. Chris Heath as well. Happy birthday in advance, Chris. I do have tennis plays today on grass. This is my largest amount of matches that I have bet so far in the grass season. Four of them. First one didn't go our way. McCartney Kessler as a -137 favorite. Lost in straights to our girl, Katie Valinets. So McCartney Kessler did not do her thing for us this morning. Dionne Paris, the other women's match that's on the screen there. I am on her versus Clara Towson. That has just begun. It's on serve in the first set. These two, the men's matches, have not begun. Rinky Hijikata, +105 versus Alejandro Tabilo. Don't really understand that line. Tabilo's a clay court guy. Hijikata should be able to get the best of him. I think wrong player favored there. And then Artur Rinderknecht. You like Artur Rinderknecht, yes, Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
-132 versus Hamad Medjedovic. I am on Rinderknecht there at -132. So the men's matches have not started. Hijikata and Rinderknecht are still to come if you want to jump on grass court tennis while the show is going on.
$7.19 million in volume on France and Senegal.
That's it?
That's it. At Polymarket.
Should I take a stab at explaining the math of this? So essentially, on a prediction market like that, right, $7.19 million, this as explained by Joe Pita to me yesterday,
mm-hmm,
and to others yesterday. But I asked the question, which is, so you have patron-to-patron bets, right? And then you have patron-to-market-maker bets. So you know if it, what was the number you quoted?
$7.19 million.
So at a minimum, cut that in half, right? It's the patron to market maker bets. At a minimum, it's exactly half that, but more likely it is more than half that because there are going to be patron to patron bets as well. So let's estimate. What was that, Polymarket?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's just estimate conservatively 4 to 4.5 in handle. Conservatively. It's just a staggering amount of money. Because remember, when we talk about like sports for the Super Bowl, right? We oh my God, Nevada set this record.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, when we get to actual American football, you get a game on a Monday night, and it's just like it just shatters what our notion is of the amount of money trading hands of these games.
I wait till we get like World Cup semis and stuff. Are you kidding? That's going to be some of the heaviest traded stuff ever.
College baseball pressing on yesterday, the College World Series. Kelly asked a question on the break, which I thought was interesting, which is how much is the World Cup ratings or World Cup viewing taking away from college baseball viewing?
Mm-hmm.
For you and me, it does.
It does.
But I wonder how, again, using the Venn diagram, named after, what do you say his name was?
John Venn.
John Venn. Was it John Venn?
Some Dr. Venn.
Hey, well, he's got a diagram named after him, for God's sake.
The doctor.
What a flex. I don't know if those two circles meet much. But for you and me, I mean, it meets some because you and me, it definitely is taken away from our college baseball viewing. But
I think it's more than we think, man.
Maybe it is.
I think we get into the summertime, yeah, and these sports get popular for a reason. And it's just then when you get two that run into each other at the same time.
In case you missed it yesterday, a big one. Oklahoma beats Georgia 4-3. And so Oklahoma is now in the catbird seat in bracket number two. Remember, North Carolina is in the catbird seat in bracket one. So Carolina and Oklahoma now are set up very well, trying to get to the best of three College World Series final. The other outcome yesterday was Texas beating Alabama 14-2. So Alabama gets eliminated. Remember, Ole Miss was the first of the final eight to get eliminated. Now Alabama from the SEC. Two SEC teams have been eliminated. So what you have now is West today, two elimination games. In bracket one, it's West Virginia versus Troy. Loser out, winner advances to play North Carolina and will have to beat North Carolina two games in a row to get to the best of three College World Series finals. Same thing in the bracket two. Georgia meets Texas today. That is an elimination game. Loser is out. Winner has to beat Oklahoma two games in a row to get to the best of three College World Series finals. It's very simple now.
Yep.
The bracket is very clear. Two big elimination games today. If you're a college baseball fan. And then, by the way, we got to clean.
I guess, like, this is where I'm intrigued to see if this does. Like, I was about to tell you, I'm wondering when we, if we get to this weekend and we kind of settle into the World Cup group stage rhythm and you get to the College World Series final series, if that takes back over. But I don't know that
not,
it does.
Not if you keep winning, like, bets.
This is what,
like, that's the thing. It all comes down to your betting, right? If it does. That's the thing. Like, as long as you keep winning World Cup match bets of whatever kind.
Yeah, you're not going to care.
You're not going to care.
It's one of the good things and the bad things about College World Series, though. Like, it's over so quick. Once they get to Omaha, it moves quick.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you're betting that and it's working for you, you're probably watching that.
Yeah, but you're probably not watching much soccer.
The answer is it's completely through your bets at this point. I mean, this isn't football or basketball, right? This is College World Series and soccer.
At least if you're like us, yep.
Yep. At least if you're like us. One more look into the Giannis market before we get to Jay Conn.
Yes, heating up, Gil. Heating up.
Heating up, in no pun intended. It's not heating up for the Miami Heat, though.
No pun intended.
It's Celticing up, right?
It sounds like it is a race between those two. The multiple Celtics reports over the past few days have been interesting. There was one this morning that I saw from Boston Globe of basically there's nothing going on, nothing to see here at all, that this has all been rumors and reports. And then there's everything from I read yesterday trades with and without Jaylen Brown. I don't really know how they're getting that one done, but there was a report yesterday that they were in the mix for Giannis for a trade without Jaylen Brown being on the table.
Jeez.
Which I don't really understand how that's possible. I think there's missing a team or that a part be. Of that story.
Yep.
But yeah, it sounds like we're down to a race with Heat versus Celtics right now over. On the prediction markets, we have Miami plus 128 to land, Boston plus 145, and then stays with Milwaukee at plus 840.
Boston has really crashed down to almost the short shot now.
I think...
He can't possibly be staying after all this, right?
Can we
just agree, if he were to stay after all this, let us never talk about this ever again.
Well, it's been pissing off Brian Windhorst more than anybody, I think, over the past 2 years, and he keeps making this statement about that. It's true. It's very simple. Giannis, at any point, if you want people to shut up, there's been an extension on the table for
That's right.
For like 9 months. Just sign it, take a bunch of money, and then everybody knows to move on. Exactly.
Yeah.
The Boston Miami stuff. Windhorst did say something yesterday I thought was interesting because I think it makes a lot of sense. Miami has been very open about this, right? It has been reported since before trade deadline. They have been involved. That they have been active. We have seen the trades that have been proposed, right? What's Milwaukee waiting for? They kind of know this is what it is. The only thing that would kind of make sense to wait for is if you're trying to drum up other interest out there or string things along with a Boston, who he made the point has been very quiet, and Boston is always very quiet because they don't deal with this stuff in the public, in that it's always team to team behind the scenes. So
that's probably true that they're waiting for a better offer, but I'm guessing at this point none is coming.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think Boston's that better offer.
Let's see what happens. Jay Conn on the Stanley Cup Final, but really about U.S. Open golf next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Somebody at Yahoo.
Yahoo!
There you go. It's been a long time since
we've Right? That's like 25 years right there.
Actually, it wasn't from Yahoo. It was Blake Topmeyer of USA Today. Blake Topmeyer of USA Today wrote this article. This is about the Brendan Sorsby deal. Mm. This is before we learned yesterday that Brendan Sorsby is taking his toys and going to the NFL supplemental draft, effectively ending this ridiculous drama.
I look forward to seeing him in the CFL soon.
By the way, you think an NFL team's like, oh, yeah, we'll take this guy. Is that easily? I don't know. But his article was the 8 dumbest quotes I've heard in the Brendan Sorsby saga.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. See, this is a fun, different way to attack the same topic that everybody else is discussing. What do we got at the top, Gil?
Texas Tech AD. These are just no particular order. Texas Tech AD, Kirby Hocutt. I've kept asking myself, how would I approach the situation if this were my own son? Not like this, you wouldn't. This is from Texas Tech mega booster Cody Campbell. Nobody boycotted Penn State a few years ago when that horrible situation happened there, you know.
Oh, my God.
He's just, these guys just are one. So Jeez. Stupid. Here's another one from Campbell. The reasons he's in trouble didn't happen while he was at Texas Tech. Actually, yeah, they did. He bet while he was a Texas Tech, too. Another one from Campbell. College football world.
Good try.
The college football world doesn't think Texas Tech should be as good as we are. We've been a disruptor, and so we're a target. Oh, God, shut up. How about university president Lawrence Chovanec? Mistakes have consequences. At the same time, here's a young man with a dream and a vision to pursue a career. It's what? You're a university president. He also said, I think we have to recognize the NCAA rules in place now were made long before there were millions of young people walking around with a legal gambling apparatus in their pocket. So what? Just like one dumber comment after another. Oh, my God. You want one more? Last one?
Yeah. From
Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire. It's not murder.
Oh, my God.
That's, you can't.
It's not murder.
I am so glad.
It's not murder, yo.
I am so glad this kid just decided to go to the NFL. To the NFL supplemental draft, which is, by the way, if you remember when we first talked about
it. Who was that done by? Well done.
Yeah, that's a great article. I think we gave seven
of
the eight.
All we've been seeing and hearing is the same nonsense about this story.
Blake Topmeyer, USA Today. Shout out to you for putting that together.
Well done. There we go.
Jake Hahn joins us. He's got nothing stupid to say. Always smart. He joins us from north of the border in Toronto, Canada. The T-Dot, the six. He's on the corner of Regina and I don't know what else up there. He'll tell us. At Jahan 4, H-A-H-N 4. Of course, what is it? Spadina and what? Spadina and where?
There is a Spadina, many corners of Spadina and fill in the blank. Spadina and Queen, Spadina and King, Dundas, wherever you want to go, Gil. It's a bit of a long street.
Spadina and Dundas
Square is a big one here. There's screens all over downtown. Obviously, some of the games, the World Cup games, being hosted here in Toronto. So if you walk around, it's a nice time to walk around downtown, guys. You see a lot of soccer jerseys from different countries in the square, which is another spot where a lot of people kind of gather. They've set up this big, massive screen. So if you walk by, people will be crowded watching games. It creates for a fun environment in the summertime.
Yeah, man. Jake, of course, by the way, the co-host on The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. By the way, Dundas, Kelly, D-U-N-D-A-S, Dundas.
Okay.
Jake, before we move on to your thoughts on the U.S. Open golf tournament this weekend, give us your final thoughts, if you will, on the Stanley Cup final.
Always bittersweet when it ends, guys. I'm sure you feel this about sports that you really care about where, look, I cover it. I do shows about hockey. It's a long year. It really is. It starts in September and it ends now. It's really only a couple months off. So a lot of us do look forward to the summer and a little bit of a break. But I think when it actually does come to an end, I think, oh, man, it just makes you reflect a little bit on the season and how long it was, how interesting it was, how exciting it was. And look, the best team won. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all.
Yeah.
How the Carolina Hurricanes played in this postseason. Three losses. And when you really break down the losses, and we did it on my show yesterday, one loss where they had 11 days off against the Montreal Canadiens where they just got caught napping. They didn't look like themselves. They were clearly rusty. And then the rest factor played in later in that series, and they completely dominated Montreal the rest of the way. They lost with 3 minutes left in regulation in game one to Vegas, and they lost the double overtime game, a game in which they did have to come back from down 4-0. I'd say that was probably their worst game, but still a game that they were able to salvage. There was never a game in this postseason, guys, where Carolina was blown out outside of that Montreal game in game one where they had the 11 days off. So it truly was a dominant run. They were ready to play basically every single night. And it was really nice to see Rod, Brendan Moore, and this whole group finally get rewarded because they really have been one of the more consistent NHL teams over the last decade or so. When you look at the regular season results, heck, even the playoffs, they're never a team that gets bounced in the first round. They often made conference finals, at least the second round. So a very consistent team and a team that just kind of stuck with it and finally got rewarded. War came together for them this year.
Yeah, I was pointing out after VGK went up 4-0 in game three, Carolina outscored them 16-6 the rest of the way. And you're right, Rod Brind'Amour, it's hard not to root for that guy. Never about himself, right? Always deflecting. Yeah. So congratulations again to those who have Carolina fans and those who had Carolina betting wise. To the United States Open at Shinnecock Hills. We know how much you love betting golf as well. How's your golf season gone so far, by the way?
It's been okay, guys. Honestly, I look back to I think the crowning moment for me was the Players Championship Cam Young call. I was on here with you guys before that as well. That filled the pockets pretty nice. And, as you guys know, when you're betting golf, you're looking for one winner to kind of keep you afloat for a little while. And last year I had a tremendous golf betting season and I knew it was going to be very hard to top that the next year. So it hasn't been quite as good as last year, but still pretty solid. A couple of winners here to keep me afloat, and that was a big one for me. So looking at a major championship, and I said it to you guys before we came on, a little bittersweet that hockey's over, NBA ends over the weekend as well, but we got the World Cup, we've got Wimbledon, and now we've got a golf major, and arguably golf majors in that you coming up. Love the golf course here at Shinnecock. A very good chance that it's a grind around even par, especially with the coming in the forecast early this week, guys. This could be an absolute grind. Now, it does kind of feel like, is it Scottie Scheffler's time? Is he going to win the Grand Slam? We know his game hasn't been in peak form, but I am always scared that things could kind of click for Scheffler. At that price, though, I'm not going to be betting it, even though I go into this week thinking it kind of feels like a Scheffler track, kind of feels like a setup where Scotty can really succeed. Sam Burns, I have a lot of interest in him. I thought he got a bit of a raw deal last year at the U.S. Open on that Sunday, a tough ruling, and that led to ultimately J.J. Spahn winning a U.S. Open in very dramatic fashion. That was an excellent finish. So Sam Burns is going to have my attention, and the guys, I'm going to get very tempted here by Victor Hovland. I saw enough in Canada, right here, not far from where I'm sitting. Victor Hovland gave a pretty nice account of himself, and it doesn't take much for me to get sucked in on the ceiling of Victor Hovland. And I think that he could play well at this golf course. So Hovland and Sam Burns are two guys I've got my eye on outside of the top tier favorites here.
What are our numbers on Hovland and Burns? Do we have those readily available? By the way, do you co-sign on Hovland and or Burns?
Sam Burns 37-1. Victor Hovland is
55-1.
I think there's going to be some Hovland love this week. I think there. Jake, I don't think you're going to be alone. I do co-sign on Sam Burns. Absolutely. Victor, I'll be on the sidelines for. I got to see a little bit more out of him. But hey, the approach game's round into form. We know when it's when he's hitting those irons well, he's one of the best. Burns is, I think, it's actually one of the more interesting cases this week. Hadn't made a decision on him yet, Jake. I think there's a lot pointing me in his direction as well. I'm wondering how much the putter gets mitigated here this week with these greens being so tough for everybody to putt on, and if the wind's blowing hard. I don't know. He's someone I haven't made a call yet on, Gil.
I don't love the number on Burns. I think that's what's really holding me back here because especially with, another good showing, it kind of fell apart for him late on the weekend. Another good showing, people feel like he's in form. He competed at the U.S. Open last year. I don't think we're getting the best Burns number. I'd like something a little closer to 50, if I'm being honest. Look, this could just be a play on the ceiling and the talent, guys. But look, when you're picking a winner to win a golf tournament, you do have to bet on the ceiling. Seeing a guy like Hideki Matsuyama way down at around 80-1 right now, that has a little interest as what's become a bit of a long shot at this point. Again, it does scare me that he's just going to be spraying the ball. He's going to be playing from the rough too much. And obviously that's not what you want to be doing at a U.S. Open, but I think you're going to have to be making a lot of your up and downs from wedge areas. So I do think looking for good wedge players, you referenced it, Kelly, and we know what a U.S. Open is. It's you get out of position, you hack out of the rough, and you're probably not going to be able to get it up to the green, and you're going to have to play it to 100-ish yards, something in that range, and then you're going to have to make your up and down from there. You're going to have to hit a wedge to, 7 feet, inside 7 feet, and try to make the putt. Those are the kind of players I'm going to be looking for this week. Good wedge players, accurate drivers off the tee. I think we're always looking for the U.S. Open. I know distance does matter, but I think accuracy off the tee this week is also going to play a huge factor, just staying out of that thick stuff.
We're off Chris Goddard. No one likes him anymore.
Oh no, Chris Goddard's getting some love this week too.
Okay.
Oh yeah, he's getting Northeast guy. The way he's tore up some of the opens overseas, he's getting some love this week.
I also think on the top of the board, guys, Xander Schauffele at that number. If I'm looking for the, the top 10 type players here, just a fair number around 20-1 on Xander Schauffele. I think that could get my attention by the end of this week as well.
Jake, appreciate it, man. Sorry hockey's over, but we love all the time we spent with you, man, and let's get you back for golf more often.
For sure.
I would love that, boys. Always enjoy chatting with you on Tuesday mornings, so it won't be long before we're talking hockey again. I look forward to that.
Thank you, Jake. The great Jake Hahn, everybody. Coming back with Sia Najat on the U.S. Open and Brendan Sorsley next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. Kelly Midland.
Hello.
We get tweets. Biddy the Book. Best listeners in the game. Andrew at Drewer999. He said, some books allow betting on the own goal. usually 10 to 1 or better. Three so far in this tournament.
Oh, man. Is there really three already? How many am I? What's my penalty kick tracker up to?
I was just,
nobody
I,
knows.
I didn't say this in the first segment where I was talking about the draws, three. But I just did with Jake off air, which is the thing about the draws also, the sweat is only the last 5 to 10 minutes of regulation time and then the added time.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it's 1-0 or 2-1, you really don't feel that much of a sweat.
So like that's another point you made though, where it's like it does, like the draws make sense at this point in a tournament also because of that, right? If it's later on in the group stage and teams know that they need 3 points, you know, or a point or whatever, right, to advance to get to that, there might be pressing it more. This first game, first match though, it's like, all right, we'll take a draw, figure it out the rest from here. Three, what is it? Half the third place teams advance? By the end of the group stage, I'm going to have this number right, Gil.
It's 32 out of 48. 32 out of 48 advance. Eight of the 12 third place
eight
teams.
Eight of the 12. That was what I was looking for.
Josh Ciara. A week before the Men's College Baseball World Series, you had a guest on that gave out Oklahoma on an outright at the end of his segment. It stuck with me, so I got 100-1 on them when they took the lead in the first elimination game versus Georgia Tech. Just wanted to thank you guys for all you do. Do we remember who that was?
Hey, no problem.
Kelly. It was Kelly.
It was probably me, Gil.
Kelly's probably taking credit.
I don't remember. Bruce Jensen?
Maybe it was Jensen. I don't know. Bruce Dobigan. Bobby Venn, he did the monster mash. No, John Venn, who created the Venn diagram.
Was it John?
It is John Venn. Back in 1880, I want to say. Gordon Dye, hot tip, Gil. Multi-viewer works well for watching both the College World Series and the World Cup. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And Willie B. Benton. I love you for this, Willie B. Benton. This is how it used to be, Kelly. He says, in honor of your pick of King Arthur today, Arthur Rinderknecht, I thought it'd be a good time to share great moments in a numbers game history. In 2021, BK, before Kelly, you gave out Rindy to beat a surging Yonner Sinner as a plus 500 dog. Yes, I do. I remember it well. And it hit. I've been hooked ever since. Yeah, that was a big day.
Wow.
We're 2021 and 2022. I cannot even express to people what it was like.
It was like
World Cup draw season is what it was back then.
It's essentially it's like Gil's going to describe everything now going forward, like World Cup draw. How did it compare to June 15th, the draw day?
The draw day.
The draw day. Before we get to see it here, I do want to point out there's a lot of golf bettors that, and I think he's in the similar spot. I'm just kind of waiting. I got a lot of guys circled. I don't know how many people picked up from that last segment, but it's a lot of guys circled. I'm getting ready to make bets. Was waiting for tee times today, Gil. Yes. And why is that important? Well, you brought it up yesterday.
I did.
And this weather keeps moving. This is just a screenshot. Now, this is from Shinnecock Inlet, okay? So right on the water. And a golf course is not very far away, obviously, but this is right on the water. If you are watching at home, what you're going to see up top is the average wind speeds throughout Thursday's round, where they are peaking at 28 miles an hour. The wind gusts 45 miles an hour at 11 a.m. Eastern time come Thursday late morning. So this is very much, I think, affecting bettors right now. When are you placing bets? Who are you betting on? Is there a early, late advantage here? I'm still waiting because when you brought this up yesterday morning, this was looking like it was going to be early Friday, late Thursday. It keeps moving a little bit earlier.
Sia Najad joins us now, host and analyst for Sportsline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. So what about that? See, I guess we should start there. Are you immediately looking to bet guys who are teeing off late Thursday, fading early tee times on Thursday? Is that where we start on this?
Like Kelly said, my initial impression was that this was going to be the reverse of that, but the weather is on the move. So it's really hard to say right now because, I mean, you're looking at those gusts and the general wind speeds. I mean, it doesn't look like you're going to get a good crack at it necessarily in the morning or the afternoon. As of this morning, I was thinking it was going to be an AM advantage for Thursday. At this point, I think we have to wait and see. But yeah, looking at this, I would lean to PM AM. The good news for me is, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, Gil and Kelly, but the outrights that I have my eye on are basically split in the two waves. Like it just so happens, like my guys aren't necessarily in one wave or the other. They're kind of split among the two. I don't know. Again, that's probably not a good thing. I probably need to be more exact with the weather, but the weather's not exact.
Right now, it's going to affect everybody.
You know what? And that point might be the best of all, which is, Everybody's going to try to chase the weather. Maybe not. Maybe just absolutely not trying to do that is the way to go.
Sia knows as well as anybody too. One of the mistakes that we have to be aware of it. But a lot of times when you try to get, you think you can get on one end of the weather, the weather ends up shutting everything down. Yes. And there is rain expected Thursday too. It shuts everything down and moves everybody back, and it doesn't affect anything. So
Sia, what did you end up betting? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was also going to say there's a possibility if these gusts are what they look to be, play might get delayed. So you might think you're, and I'm just speculating, of course, but if the greens can't hold the golf ball, for example, like maybe they delay play long enough where that wave that you thought existed actually doesn't exist because the players in the quote bad wave end up playing Friday morning in what ends up being a good wave. So it's really, really hard to say.
Yeah. That might be the best path. Just try to, you know what? Just do your handicapping as you normally would and just go with that. What are you smirking at?
No, I'm just the way we see this golf course. It's like, well, at least we haven't seen this golf course play before, Sia, where someone's had to hit a moving putt in the wind. You know, at least we haven't seen that before. And that is really, one of the biggest storylines. If you guys aren't aware, for Shinnecock Hills, coming out of the 2018 U.S. Open, there was a lot of criticism over this course being way too tough in the wind on that third round, and it looks like we might be getting into it again.
The best part of having Kelly on the desk, there's many great parts about having Kelly on the desk, but one of my favorites is his face gives away that he's thinking something.
I just watching Phil Mickelson do it, just hit that putt, man.
All right, Sia, what did you bet?
So I've got a couple that I've already bet. And then honestly, I wouldn't mind getting Kelly's opinion on a couple of others. Now it's Tuesday. I like Matt Fitzpatrick. I bet him right away, not knowing any weather, tee times or anything. Matt Fitzpatrick is a guy that no matter what you're looking at, whether it's recent form, his ability to close, the tee to green numbers, the approach numbers, accuracy off the tee, Matt Fitzpatrick is going to check the box there. And honestly, when it comes to difficult conditions, I think Fitzpatrick is that guy that you want, among other guys like your Scottie Schefflers. But I certainly think Fitzpatrick fits that category. Another guy that fits that. Now, Fitz is in that 22 to, we see it here. He's looking at 23.5 to 1. Yep. Tommy Fleetwood at the same price is a little interesting. I would think he'd be a little longer at most books, but either way, people aren't going to want to take Fleetwood. But I think in tough conditions, Fleetwood makes a lot of sense. The only drawback for him, other than the fact that he's really not winning a lot at all, frankly, is the approach play's been a little off. But again, on a tough course where you're going to have to be scrambling, you're going to have good around the green and good putting, Tommy Fleetwood is great for that. And I think he will keep it in play off the tee as well, like a lot of people will at Shinnecock. Those are my two kind of shorter-ish shots in that 25-1 range. I'll give you three names. And Kelly, I kind of want to bounce this off of you. I'm going to pick two of these three names: Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, JJ Spahn. And just a quick one-liner on all of them. JJ Spahn, I think, is going to be a ball-striking phenom. He's around the green play, is so deserving of some criticism, but he's gained around the green in 5 in a row. We know he rises to the occasion. Patrick Reed is just a magician, especially when the course conditions are tough. And Justin Rose, you never know when he's going to pop. But when he does pop, it's usually at events like this with tough conditions and tough fields. And then all of a sudden, Justin Rose is that dude. And I think in that 50-ish to one range, he makes some sense.
Yeah, real quick thoughts, I would say. Justin Rose, I think, is rated out higher for me all season long than I've expected. See, I actually thought I would be more interested in him this week than I ended up. So a pass on him. Patrick Reed, I can almost never get on board with, but hard to argue with his majors so far this year. And JJ Spahn, I am definitely on board with already. It will be a bet for me. I've bet him a few times here recently. So that would be my one pick from those three for sure.
See, have you added any first round leader stuff, anything like that yet?
Well, I will say this. No, because tee times like literally just came out. But I will say this. If we think that AM tee times are a thing, For Thursday, for example, I will just mention that Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Reed, and JJ Spahn all have AMT times. Obviously, the reverse is true for the other two guys I mentioned. Justin Rose has a PMT time, and Matt Fitzpatrick has a PMT time. So depending on where we all land on the weather for Thursday specifically, that group of five, I'll be on at least two in the PM or at least three in the AM.
All right. See ya. Last thing before you go, Brendan Sorsby has decided to enter the NFL supplemental draft. That is the correct outcome of this, right? The only way out of this.
The correct outcome is that people were listening to our show last week. Mm-hmm. They heard our dissertation, not just mine, but Kelly's plea to common sense. And everybody finally came to their senses. Yes, this is the rightful path on this whole mess.
There you go. See you, Najad. Golf handicapper by day, attorney by night. Or the other way around. I can't remember. Thank you, Sia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
At Sia Najad, by the way, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D, again, host and analyst for Sportsline. Drew Dinsick joins us. World Cup, tennis, more next.